There are waters that rage against my soul, trying to drown and swallow me whole. Swift is the current of the waves of the sea, pulling me down and sinking me deep. Beneath the waves, I struggle to see the hand of God that reaches me. He pulled me out, he lifted me up, so saved by grace and not by luck. It's then that I rest and realize that my Lord was there. Out of depths I rise. I rise and rise to walk again, to walk on waters stilled by his command. Be still, waters that are out of control, waters that rage against my soul. Hear the word to the world that is odd. Be still and know that I am God. There is something innately good and spiritual about water. Did you know that? From the beginning of the world, God had in his mind that its life-giving force as a substance would uphold and sustain all of his creation. He had in mind to use it to perform his perfect plan and his perfect will to tell the story of his redemptive plan for our salvation. He used water, H2O, two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen, two parts unseen, one part seen. God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, Jesus whom we see, who lived and walked among us, life himself flowing in our presence. Water. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, images of water symbolize judgment, it symbolized life. It also symbolized cleaning, new life, and rebirth. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 2, it states, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." That deep means water. And it says, "And the Ruach HaKodesh," that's the Hebrew word for the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of God, the Ruach HaKodesh, moved upon the face of the waters. The earth is said to be made up of 70% water. Did you know that? And what is so unique, because the Bible tells us that God created Adam out of the mud of the ground, out of the earth, out of the elements of the ground. And guess what? 70% of our body is made of water. I wonder where that theological ratio came from. I believe it was God. He placed within us a substance that would sustain us. This was done to support life, and life that God would sanction as good, that is, water. When the world was so wicked in the days of Noah, God used the flood waters above the sky to meet the flood waters in the earth, to bring them together, to bring about judgment upon the people because of the wickedness of their sin. The waters were created, in a sense, as a spiritual cleansing. And its effect against those who had unrestrained sin, who practiced unrestrained sin in the days of Noah. When God delivered Israel from the bondage of the Red Sea, God split the waters to save his people, that they might walk across on dry land. Judgment waters, splitting the waters. In the New Testament, Jesus walked on water, turned water into wine, calmed the stormy waters of the Sea of Galilee, was baptized by John in the Jordan waters, in the river. You say, well, what does this have to do with our message this morning? We are still in Psalms chapter 23. And in Psalms 23, in verse number 2b and verse number 3, it says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Waters. This morning, I want to share with you, I only have one point, but I have several sub-points. As we are talking about the sheep, did you know that God sees you as a sheep? You're either in his fold or you're out of his fold. You're either in Christ or you're outside of Christ. You're either saved and on your way to heaven, or you're unsaved and you're on your way to hell, depending on whose flock you belong to. Having called upon the name of the Lord, we belong to the flock of God. His Holy Spirit indwells and empowers us and lives with us, inside of us. And we belong to him. We are his sheep. He is our shepherd. But what does water have to do with sheep? Sheep need to be led to a good source of water. It's just that simple. Sheep need water. And if you're saved today, I can hear your spiritual soul saying, bah. Preach, Pastor, I need some water for my soul. Notice what it says here. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Why do they need a good source of water? Why is the psalm speaking of water? Why is David helping us to understand this? Because David knew that sheep will not drink from raging waters. Sheep will not drink from raging waters. You know why? Because rapid waters or raging waters, they cause anxiety in the sheep. Even though the sheep may want to go to the edge of that raging rapid, because it is moving and it's splashing and it's bouncing and waves are coming up, it scares the sheep. So it creates fear and anxiety. Those who belong to the Lord, we as his flock, we should not drink from raging waters. It's dangerous. You might be able to get a sip. You might be able to get one lick. But it's dangerous. Let me tell you why. Waters that are raging create in us feelings of insecurity. We have to ask ourselves, what things are raging in our lives? What problems, what people, what places that we have gone that have caused us to have anxiety. You know, if you are a student in school, you're asking, you say, which class is giving you the most trouble? Is it math? Is it English? Is it science? Can I drink from this raging water? Can the teacher put it in a context where I can understand what they're teaching? No, sometimes we just have to find a source that we can drink from, a source that we can learn from. You know, students learn in different ways. What people, what persons, what problems in your life seem to be raging, drinking from the still waters. The still waters are special waters. They are like spiritual water that is only found in the presence of the shepherd. It's only found in the presence of God, who is our peace. When we put our fears and our anxieties in the hand of the Lord, they are reduced, if not eliminated. Sheep will not drink from raging waters, number one, because it creates a fear. It creates an anxiety. As they go to the edge and they try to drink, they can get in trouble. And if the sheep will not drink from the water, if they won't drink, then they are subject to dehydration. So that's why it says, he leadeth me to the still waters. Now that word still means calm or quiet waters. Peaceful waters. Is there anybody that needs some peace in their life? I remember raising 3 kids, 2 years apart. Every now and then we needed a little peace in the house. Am I right about the water of children was raging in the house, taking them here and there, class, soccer games and football games and baseball games and cheerleading and on and on. And all these things we try to navigate in life, and we need a little peace sometime, mama. We need a little peace, daddy. Am I right about it? And if we don't take time to drink, sheep of the Lord, we can get spiritually dehydrated. And if we get spiritually dehydrated, we will be subject to fainting and passing out and not completing or not following the Lord as he so designed for us to do as his sheep. I remember one time, I was in the Navy. I was working at a naval hospital in Portsmouth, 13C, I remember it was. And I was making rounds, and I was taking some vital signs, and I had leaned over on one of the, I was writing on one of the gurneys. You know, back then they had those old medical records, you know, those metal ones. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They had the flip chart to it, you know, and then, you would put it up outside their door. And so I remember writing down the vital signs of the person, and all of a sudden it got real dark. But it was like somebody was turning a dim switch on. And I was wondering what was going on, and I felt myself falling, but I couldn't catch myself. Have you ever been there? Where you were so weak and you begin to pass out, and I fell over on the stretcher. I passed out. And the next thing you know, I was in the emergency room. And when I got to the emergency room, I looked up and the nurse was talking to me, and they explained to me what had happened. And I was, they told me I was dehydrated. I was working, but I was not drinking. See, saints, it's okay to serve the Lord. It's okay to work for the Lord. But there are times when we got to come into the house of God. There are times when we got to come into the presence of God, into Bible study, and we need to drink so that we don't faint. I was working, but I wasn't drinking. And they hooked me up to a thing called an IV. Y'all know what that is, right? And they put a bag there. It was called lactated ringers. Anybody ever heard that? They got all different kind of lactated ringer, lactated D5 and some other stuff. But what it is basically sodium, potassium, and calcium. And what had happened is that the minerals in my body had depleted themselves, and I had not replenished myself by drinking, and I was dehydrated. So sheep need to be led to still waters, because if they are fearful and if they have anxiety, they won't drink, and then they will get dehydrated. And if they get dehydrated, they will faint and be subject to the enemy's attack. Yes. It's not good for a sheep to fall out. Wolves. Lions. There are those who seek to destroy your life. They're just waiting for the opportunity to get to you. And that's why it's so important that we drink from the Word of God, that we drink from the Spirit of God, that we drink from obeying what the Lord is saying, that we drink from the fellowship of our saints together, because guess what? The Spirit in God in you might refresh the Spirit that is drained in me. But if we don't come together, I don't have a source to drink from. And what we're finding out, that the folk out there, they're working, they're doing their things their own way, but they don't know that they are spiritually dehydrated and they're about to fall out before the enemy, and Satan is waiting to devour them. He's waiting to devour them. He's waiting to devour our children. That's why it's so important to get them to the house of God, that the children might hear the Word of God, because they are seeking to devour them. The enemy is. And if he can keep us outside the fold, if he can keep us fearful of coming to church, If he can help us to think that whenever I come to the house of God, I get anxiety. Whenever I try to do what God wants me to do, I get anxiety. I'm afraid of the church. I'm afraid of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We won't fear the wisdom of the world. We won't fear the wisdom of the scientists. We won't fear the wisdom of the psychologists. Not that to say that they don't offer some good advice, but it's not God's advice. I'd rather have God's advice over good advice. I was working, but I wasn't drinking enough water. We want to avoid spiritual dehydration. So where do we find this spiritual source of water? When we follow Jesus to the streams again of his word, when we follow Jesus by trusting the leading of his Holy Spirit, when we worship the Lord by acts of worship in everything that we do as an act of worship, our souls become energized with the potassium of God, with the calcium of God, with the energizing sodium of God. I don't need lactated ringers. What I need to do is I need to get in the ring where God is. That's in the presence of God, in our fellowship together with one another, and then in streams of prayer. In streams of prayer. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, I'm glad you asked the question. When we pray, prayer is like, it's like an IV in the ER. Prayer is like an IV in the ER, but here's the thing. You don't want to wait until you have an emergency. You don't want to wait until you have an emergency and all of a sudden, at a crucial moment, you faint because you have not drank from the Spirit of God. You have not drank from the fellowship. You have not drank from obeying his word and following his Spirit and fellowshipping with the saints and going out and sharing the gospel with other people, because you have not drinking. What thus saith the Lord. you wait for an emergency to come. Not that God won't come to your rescue. The ER is there just for that. It's just for those emergencies. But we don't want to have spiritual emergencies all the time when it comes to prayer. Sometimes we need to have some prayers that are stored up for the emergency. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? Prayer is like an IV in the ER. Prayer is what Gatorade is to the athlete. It energizes, it empowers, it restores depleted minerals to the body. And sometimes, saints, there are some things in this world that will deplete you from the spiritual minerals that God has placed in your soul. This world can drain you. People can drain you. The struggles with your own flesh and evil forces, satanic forces can drain you. Serving God and doing good can drain you. Even Jesus needed to rest and to be strengthened from time to time. He needed to be strengthened in his mind and in his body and in his spirit. And on certain occasions, he did just that. We think about Jesus in the desert in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 11 as he was being tempted by the devil. At the end of that, it says, and the angels came and ministered unto him to restore, if you will, some strength, to give some encouragement for the journey that is ahead, to help map out the road and to fight off the enemy. The angels came and ministered to him. In Luke chapter 22 and verse number 43, we find that the Bible says that the angels came to minister to him and to strengthen him as he prayed in the garden. The cross was before him, and even Jesus was tired. Even Jesus felt within himself the struggle of not doing what God had already sent him to do. How many of you have been there? We struggle within ourselves. And I'm so glad about the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 7, he just encourages my heart because he lets me know that I'm not by myself. Because he said, the things that I don't want to do, them are the things that I do. And the things that I do, those are the things that I don't want to do. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. Woo! See, either one of us on our best day is just a wretched man and a wretched woman in God's sight. On our best day, doing our best work, without Christ, we're just wretched. We're less than a worm, maggots in the mud, but a sinner saved by grace. A sinner who surrenders into the hand of God. He changes, he metamorphosizes, and he takes that which was not of use and he makes it useful. He makes that which was shameful, and he somehow creates his own Shekinah glory out of. He says, we have this treasure in earthen what? Vessels. We have a treasure inside of us, and it's not us, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. He says, you brand new. And then he tells us to walk in the newness of life. Live it out. Leave it out, walk it out, live it out. Yes. Prayer is like an IV in the ER. It's like Gatorade. You know, just this past week, I think, what was that? What day was that? I got real sick. Was that Thursday? Friday, early Friday morning. I went to a restaurant. I think I may have gotten food poisoning. And I was up all night, nauseated. You know, the business. Here and there, it got so bad, I thought I was going to faint. I was going to pass out. And all I can do is, whatever strength I had, my wife was sleeping. It might have been like 3 o'clock in the morning. I went over there to her, and I woke her up because I thought I was going to pass out. I didn't want to pass out without her knowing. And so she came in, and she helped me. I was so weak, all I could do was just lean on her. Now, I'm a man. And I take pride in being a man. But I had to lean on my wife. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Listen, saints, it's okay to lean on someone else who may be a little stronger than you are from time to time. I leaned on her, and all I could do, but it took away all the effort that I had to try to muster up in order just to sit up. I just leaned, and I just leaned. I laid. And she just rubbed my head. By and by, my strength began to come back. I was able to hold myself up. It's amazing how the body can be attacked all of a sudden. Listen, saints. It's amazing how you can be spiritually attacked all of a sudden. The enemy can show up just like that. You having a good day, eating a good meal, getting ready to go to bed, you're laying down asleep, and all of a sudden, what is that? And I got up. I didn't think I can take it, but listen, saints, Jesus is somebody that you can lean on. When you don't have enough strength to sit up, when you don't have enough strength to even lay yourself down, you can always rest in Jesus. You can lean on him. He's a firm foundation. He's solid. He's a pillar that won't move. And as a shepherd, he'll come. He'll rub your head. Say, it's going to be all right. I'm praying for you. Not only that, but I'm going to strengthen you. Won't he do it? And so we find that this experience, this journey that we're on, we are like sheep. There's a reason that sheep won't drink from raging waters. Another reason is that they might slip and they might drown in the current. The world is like a raging stream, and it is hostile to the believer. And sometimes, watch this, sometimes we are so thirsty for the things of the world that we see the raging water, we see the problem, we see the folk living the wrong way, but we want and we thirst so much for what the world has, that we are tempted to go and drink from its political streams, its social and economical streams, its academic streams, and we tend to drift away from the shepherd who was leading us to calm and still waters. He said, he leadeth me beside the what? Still waters. And when the shepherd goes over to the raging water and he sips the water like the world can rise up and grab that sheep and catch hold to that sheep and pull that sheep in. And it's something interesting because sheep has wool. And when wool gets wet, it's about maybe three times as heavy as it normally would be. And it can sink a sheep just like that. That's why the shepherd leads the sheep to still, calm waters. He doesn't want you to be caught in the weight of the world on your shoulder. He doesn't want you to be caught in the streams of this world that seem to be flowing against God. We have to take our stand and continue to follow the shepherd because he's going to give me some good water. Can I get a witness? This water's going to be good for our soul. But it's also good to keep us safe in his care. Yes. We got to follow the shepherd. And as we walk together and we follow the Lord together, it lessens the temptation to drink from the raging streams of this world. That's what fellowship does. Well, you know, they got some drink over here, but this one spiked with something. But you know, I heard that it was good. Jesus says, here's some calm waters. Here's some still waters. We must encourage ourselves by coming in contact with one another, because just by us coming together, we can nudge one another and say, that's got too much going on. You don't want to drink from over there. Am I right about it? If you're thirsty, you need to be thirsty for Jesus. Don't thirst for the world. Don't thirst for what they have to offer. Thirst for what God has. Thirst after righteousness. The Bible says you shall be filled. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for what? You shall be filled. Yes. I'm mindful that we can drift away from the things of God, and we must ever be careful. I'm mindful of the lyrical psalmist when they wrote these words and said, there's a storm out on the ocean, and it's moving this away. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, it can what? Surely drift away. It can surely drift away. Sheep will not instinctively look for clean water. They will drift. That's why he says he leads me beside the still waters, because sheep will not instinctively look for clean waters. That means that they will drink from whatever is around. They will drink from stale, stagnant water. You say, why is that a problem? Well, water that is stagnant, that's not flowing, it can contain manure. And that manure can have algae inside of it. And it can develop poisons inside of the sheep and weaken the sheep's muscles so that the sheep can't run and follow the shepherd. What it will do, it can cause liver damage in the sheep. And eventually it will cause death. So he says, I'm going to lead you to still waters, waters that are calm, waters that are flowing, not stale, stagnant water that is laced with the poison of this world's doctrine. Yes. That's why the shepherd leads to calm, flowing, fresh water that they might live and avoid unsound water. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, that means the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. He says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. That means you have to suffer long and do it. See, a lot of times we want to get into ministry and we want to get in for the glory, but then God said, no, you got to get in it for the story. You got to suffer long. Folk going to love you and then lynch you. That means you got to reprove and rebuke. Let me be very clear. I will rebuke you, but I try not to abuse my authority, my pastoral authority. I will correct you because I've been called to do that. I will instruct you. I will correct you. But don't think it's strange when I do, because that's what the pastor is called to do. Don't think because I don't say nothing right away that I won't say nothing at all, because I will. But we don't want to abuse our authority. Am I right about it? We want to be long-suffering, and we want to suffer long so that people will come into the knowledge and pray with them and help that the Holy Spirit will show them and will lead them and guide them to surrender and to submit by the Spirit and not by force. Am I right about it? Yes. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound waters. They will not drink for themselves. They want to drink stale and stagnated waters that are full of poison and manure of this world's teaching and false teachers, false prophets, false apostles. He said, listen, I don't want my sheep drinking from stagnated waters. He says, for the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, that's plural, that's interesting there, that they will heap for themselves teachers having itching ears. That means that they will find people that would say what they want them to say. And if this person doesn't say what they want them to say in their home, they'll find another person. And when they want somebody to say what they want to say in the church, they'll find this person. And when they want to find somebody that's going to say what they want to say in their education, they'll find this person. And they begin to heap up for themselves teachers, all of them saying and appeasing them. Folk are Googling and searching and Instagramming everybody that's saying what they want to say, but they don't want to hear what thus saith the Lord. You have to be careful, because you can heap up for yourselves more than any time in the day of history. You can heap up for yourselves teachers today. You say, my pastor's online. I listen to him. I fellowship with the Lord at home, and that's my pastor. Well, here's the problem. God gives to you, and he feeds you in the flock and the fold where you attend. You may be eating a word from another pastor that was not given to you, because he gives the pastor of this flock the word to feed you for this flock, for this season, for this time in your life. It may be good, but it may not be God. You need to take God and then supplement it with that if it's good. Are y'all picking up what I just put down? Yes. He says, for the time will come. He says, but be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Woo, nobody want to hear that word. Endure afflictions. I'm talking to myself now. Pastor Tony, you got to endure some afflictions. That means you can't give up. You got to keep on keeping on. You got to preach in season and out of season. He said, preach when you feel like it. Preach when you don't feel like it. Preach when it's convenient and preach when it's inconvenient. Preach when they're happy. Preach when they're sad. Preach when they love you. Preach when they're mad. He said, but you got to preach. You got to preach, because it's only by the preached word that men, women, boys, and girls are saved. Am I right about it? Sheep must be willing to follow the shepherd. That's my last thought. Sheep must be willing to follow the shepherd to clean, calming streams of water. Notice it says, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for what? His name's sake. Do you know that God has carved out a path for your life as well? Psalm 16 and 11 says, thou wilt shew me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures evermore. There are pleasures evermore. He said, God will show me the path of life. But that path of life is going to bring you into his presence. And when you get there, you're going to find out, as you drink from his water, as you drink from his word, as you drink from his fellowship, as you drink in the worship, as you drink in obedience, that you're going to have joy. Joy. Yes. You're going to have joy. because he has showed you the path of life. But the sheep must be willing to follow the shepherd. Psalms 37 and 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are planned out, have been instructed by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. That means that God blesses your path because you have been made good. He says, the steps of a good man, the steps of a good woman, whoo! Are ordered by the Lord, not because we are so good, but because we have a good God who made us good when we were no good. He says he ordered it, he instructed it, and we submitted and we were willing to follow the Lord in believing that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, now I delight in your path because you're following me. I'm delighting in you because you're following me, and I'm going to bless your going out. I'm going to bless your coming in because you're sheep of my fold. Yes. It has to do with water, saints. The litmus test for every sheep and every leader is graded on their ability to follow the shepherd before them. I'm going to say that again. The litmus test for every sheep and every leader is graded on their ability to follow the shepherd that is before them. One cannot be a leader if they are not willing to follow. For you shall reap what you sow. If you sow disobedience, don't expect nobody to follow you. If you sow anarchy, if you sow division, don't you expect nobody to follow you. You shall reap what you sow. The litmus test for every sheep is our ability to follow. God calls us to follow, and in doing so, he calls us to lead. When he met the disciples, he simply said, what? Follow me. It also implies that he has delegated, or it implies his delegated authorities, and there is a reason for God doing this. God gives to those who lead his blueprints to find the water for his sheep to drink. So that they might live, that they might be fruitful, that they might multiply. See, sometimes we're not multiplying because we're not following. We have our own ideas, we have our own plans, and we think that we can keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And God is saying, I have a shepherd who has given you a blueprint to lead you to the water so that you might drink, that you might live, that you might be fruitful and multiply. Yes. Lastly, my thought is this. If the river is too strong for the sheep to drink, sometimes the shepherd might carve out a watering pathway or a gully so that the sheep can safely drink. Proverbs 4:1-4 says, hear ye, O children, the instructions of the father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, not stale, stagnant doctrine. I give you good doctrine. He says, forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. Let us keep his commandments and live. Let us follow his word and live. Let us connect in our fellowship and live. Let us worship together and live. Let us obey what the Lord has said and be fruitful and drink from the streams that he has so ordered and the pathway that he is leading us to the water. Let us so drink of his spirit and live. He says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. There are waters that rage against my soul, trying to drown and swallow me whole. Swift is the current of the waves of the sea, pulling me down and sinking me deep. Beneath the waves, I struggle to see the hand of God that reaches me. He pulled me out. He lifted me up. So saved by grace and not by luck. It's then I rest and realize that my Lord was there. Out of depths, I rise. I rise and rise to walk again on the waters that he calmed. By his command. Peace be still, waters out of control, waters that rage against my soul. Hear the words to the world that sound so odd. Be still and know that I am God. That is the word of the Lord for you today. Will you receive it? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you do. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've been drinking from places that I shouldn't. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, nothing like that. But if you know that, we're going to pray together, amen? Amen? You've been drinking from stale, stagnant waters, listening to the wrong people, going to the wrong places, following your own path. Maybe you're here today and you say, Lord, I know I'm not saved. I'm following the path of the world, and I know that if I were to die today, I would not have a home in heaven. I'm outside the flock of God, and I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. If that's who you are, I just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Is there one that says, I'm outside the fold of God. I know I'm not a Christian. I'm not even playing around, but I want to make sure that I'm saved today. Is there one?